I certainly dinged loudly this morning. When y'all sing loudly, it sounds a lot better than when I sing loudly. And so thank y'all so much for doing that. I want to invite you into a scripture reading. It comes from the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. It's going to be Psalm 40. We're not going to read the entire psalm. We're going to read the first 11 verses. So I invite you to take a look at Psalm 40, starting at verse 1. We'll go through verse 11. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. I encourage you, you can read along with your favorite translation along the way. But I invite you to hear these words. Psalm 40, starting at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. And then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. And I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I do want to invite you, if you would, that as we pray, I want to invite you to one more prayer request. If you would, please remember Reverend Robert Mount, as well as Martha. Robert was here this morning. You might have seen him. He was helping us in the tech desk early this morning. But he got a call last night, and he is filling in for a pastor that is sick. So if you would remember Robert and Martha as Robert is preaching this morning, and if we could, in one accord, if we could lift up Robert. So bow your head with me. Almighty and everlasting God, we do thank you for your words that you speak into our lives and for your words that you speak among us. And we are especially grateful, Lord, for the call that you put upon all of our lives. We do lift out to you, Robert, this morning, as well as Martha. We ask, O God, that you may watch over them and that you will keep them safe. And we pray and ask that as the people of Crumley Chapel, as the people of Crumley Chapel come together and as they worship you, we pray that your Holy Spirit may be in their midst, that you, O God, will pour out your Spirit upon them. And we also ask, O God, for every church that lifts up your holy name this morning, that your blessings may be upon them, that your Holy Spirit may guide each and every one of them. And Lord, for the body of Christ that is around this world, we pray, O God, that you may guide us, that you will lead us. And Lord, I am grateful for the words that you have given to me. I'm grateful, Lord, for the people that are in my life and for this congregation. I just pray and ask that you will continue, O Lord, with your steadfast love toward us to lead us to words that bring us life, to stories that bring us new life. For we pray and ask this together. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Now, we are going to continue. Even though I was sharing with all of our children this morning about everything that is happening on this day, we are going to continue this conversation we started on gratitude. This idea about being grateful, this idea that for a few weeks now that we have really set in front of us, and I'm often, and it took me a long time to get here too, but I'm often going to say ways of showing gratitude, ways of being grateful, but grateful, gratitude, thank you, thanks, which is the way that I used to always, don't let the words trip you up. Describe it however you want to, because it's not necessarily the words that we use or the description that we're using, but what is really important is what's happening inside us. What is happening between us? What is happening between the people that we love and also even the people that are a little bit harder to love, but what is happening in our lives together? And so that's what I want you to really focus on. So we're going to be ending that conversation today, but really thinking about how do we not end gratitude today, but how do we continue with it, and how do we make it so that these practices that we've leaned into over these past couple of weeks, how can they really be sustained in our lives? How can we really sustain gratitude in our lives? But before this is a really important day in the church. It's an extraordinary day in the life of our church. It is Christ the King Sunday. It is also the last day of the year. My suspicion is that some of you, use part of that time watching some football over this past weekend. But again, why do we recognize that Jesus Christ is King today? Well, it is because of Advent that is in front of us. It is because we recognize that as we come to the end of the year, and as we prepare to peer forward and look for Jesus Christ who is coming into our world, we recognize that the entire world changes. Not only our lives, not only our church, not only our communities, our neighborhoods, not only even the Southeast, but we recognize that the entire world changes. And so recognizing that Jesus is King, again, not only in our lives, but in our church, but in our world as well, that's where we focus, and that's why this is such an important day. And that is why we recognize that this is the end, and when Jesus is born, it is a brand new beginning. Even if we're just learning about Jesus for the first time, even if we don't know Jesus as a personal aspect of our lives, or even if we spent many years following Jesus Christ, December and Christmas changes everything in our lives. And recognizing that Jesus Christ is King, we are invited to pray to this King. We're invited to, in fact, communicate with this King. We are invited to give thanks, as for a couple of weeks we're really focused on. But we are also invited, as we have just done this morning, we are invited to give petitions. That is, that we are able to ask the very God of the universe, the one who, as we were singing earlier this morning, who controls the stars, who controls the heavens, that we are invited to make requests on that God. It has been, is what the ancient church reminds us of, to come before God and offer petitions to God. And what surprises me over and over, in a world that can quickly become just this litany and long list of bad news, is that when you ask people in our country, how many of you pray? Which is really interesting, because there are some actual numbers, there's some actual data on this, that when you ask people in our own country, in the United States of America, how many of you pray? 55% say yes. Now, we just spent a few weeks ago on the Wednesday night when we were talking about some of the bad news, some of that litany. We were talking about some of the issues that we find over and over again in the church, that there's decline in attendance. We find that that younger folks do not find positions like this of coming into the ministry, coming into the clergy, that they are not readily signing up for this. But over and over, when you ask folks, they say, yeah. Over half the country says, yes, I pray. And in the same survey, 20% of people who say they have absolutely no, and these numbers, by the way, they come from, it's a 2014 study, a bit old, but it's the Pew Research Survey that says 55% of Americans say that they pray. But in that same survey, 20% of people who say they have no religious affiliation whatsoever say that they pray. And in fact, just in my own ministry, in my own time spending around these small anecdotes, for when I ask people, oftentimes, do you go to church? More often than not, I'll get a very quick no. But then I ask them, well, do you pray? And over again, I hear that. Well, yeah, I pray. And in fact, not only do you pray, but it's like I pray every day. But like I said, we can get quickly into this litany of bad news. But that's not where I want us to focus this morning. Because what is absolutely amazing is that people that are inside our church, as well as people that are outside our church, are praying. There are people that are doing exactly, in fact, the reading for this morning from Psalm 40, that is a prayer, that they are lifting up prayers, and they are offering these prayers. And like I said, just in the few instances that I've had, when people say, yeah, don't have a religious background, don't go to a church, but yeah, of course I pray every day. And so over these past few weeks, you know, as we have lean toward gratitude, I've invited you to keep a journal or to keep some notes of things that you're grateful for, just to write them down. You know, it could be overwhelming. It could be something like, I got to spend an amazing couple of days with my family. It's been years since I've seen them. We sat down and we had a talk, and so your gratitude list could be extraordinary. It's, you know, we talked in a way that we've never talked before. I saw them happier than I've ever seen them before. Or it could be something about, like, I had a wonderful cup of coffee. So it can go. And one of the interesting things about that is that as we do this, as we record them, whether it's in a journal, whether it's some notes, whether we're jotting it down, but just making sure that we make a note. What is interesting about this is that as we do this, research has shown us that gratitude, if we pay attention to it and just capture it every single day, that over 2 weeks, that we can have a more positive outlook on life, we can sleep better, we can, in fact, be more happier. Robert Edmonds has done the study on it. Says this is exactly right. But as life-changing as this kind of practice can be, and I'll be glad to share my own experiences of this. I was not naturally inclined to be gracious, and so I'll be glad to share that with you. But as life-changing as this kind of just paying attention for a couple of weeks, of those things that you're as grateful for, as life-changing as that can be, there's more. There's more about this graciousness. There's more about this thankfulness. There's more about this gratitude. And that is that when you begin to do exactly what we see modeled for us in the Hebrew Scriptures in Psalm 40. And I chose this one. There are other passages throughout the Bible that show this very same thing. This is, in fact, it is a template, in a sense, of prayers of thanksgiving, of prayers of thankfulness. But I just chose this one as God spoke into my heart about it. But as it is modeled in Psalm 40, as we begin to incorporate thankfulness and graciousness and gratitude into our prayer lives, that's when we can really see some growth in our own spirituality. In fact, this reading that is Psalm 40, this psalm of thanksgiving, in fact, if you've got a study Bible, you may see it. You may see it written as a psalm of thanksgiving above the top of it. But you can see for yourself, starting at verse 1, I waited patiently. God inclined God's ear. God inclined his ear. God heard my cry and drew me from the desolate pit. Now, likely, if you dig a little bit deeper into this psalm, likely you will see, well, even if you just do a very quick surface reading, it may seem that for David's life, you may have the impression things weren't going exactly as he planned. I mean, things weren't working out the way that David imagined. And so there's a little bit of speculation that's there, but at the very least, there's some kind of personal crisis. There's some kind of distress that has fallen onto David. It could be sickness. It could be an illness. It could be something else. There could be, in fact, it could go as far as there could be a threat to David's own life that is here in this psalm. Like I said, there's a little bit of speculation that's around there. But what we know for certain is that David finds himself at the very edge. He finds himself at the very edge of this crisis. He finds himself that is so distressed and says, I waited patiently. God, you turned toward me. God, you inclined your ear, you heard my cry, and you brought me from this pit. You delivered me from this one. You delivered me from this pit. God hears, God delivers. But yet much more than this, much more than God, you have heard me, God, you have delivered me, David's prayer to God in the psalm is filled with gratitude. And again, just walking through it, you don't have to be a scholar of biblical studies You don't have to give that astute theological answer. We'll save that for the kids. In real life, as we take a look at Psalm 40 and just walking through it, pay attention to the thankfulness. Pay attention to the gratitude that comes across the pages. Take a look at verse 3. In fact, take a look at verse 3. Take a look at verse 5. Verse 3, David says that you have, beginning, I waited patiently. God inclined God's ear. God heard my cry. God drew me from the desolate pit. Verse 3, what has God done? Put a new song in my mouth. In fact, we spin entire stories of songs out of that. But God has put a new song in my mouth. Verse 5, God has multiplied wondrous deeds and thoughts toward not only David, but toward us. That is, people that are on this earth, the inhabitants that God has created. David has a new song. God has multiplied God's deeds and thoughts toward David, and also God has multiplied those deeds throughout the earth. And then there is this particular verse. Take a look, continuing down this line of Psalm 40. Take a look at verse 8. I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. There's a change that happens here in David's life. Are you seeing that? That in this psalm, that as David begins with this moment of crisis in his life, and as he walks through and talks about a new song that God is delivering and offering to him in his life, as he talks about the way that God has offered these wondrous deeds, he doesn't describe them specifically. And yet, what they have done is made such a difference in David's life that he has come to this moment of transformation in his own life. You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to go, therefore, to the very ends of the earth and make disciples of all nations. And in fact, what our own book of discipline in the United Methodist Church says, that idea of making disciples happens most often in the life of a congregation like ours. It happens in the local church. And not only are we to make disciples of all nations, but we are to make disciples of all nations and in our own congregations, in our own churches, for the transformation of the world. And this is exactly what we begin to see in David's life. Again, that begins, and I waited patiently for God. God heard my cry. God drew me from the desolate pit. God has given me a brand new song. God has multiplied God's deeds throughout the earth and also in David's life. And now at verse 8, and I delight at your will, O God, because your law is within my heart. There is a change for David here. There is a transformation that has happened here. I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is now not something that is written on a page or on a tablet, but it is now written in my heart. You see, when we pray as thankful, grateful people, the God of the universe gives us a new song to sing. The God of the universe multiplies deeds of God's presence in our lives, and we delight in this life with God and discover God's law and, in fact, God's virtues, much like gratitude. We discover them and we begin to find them in our own hearts. And again, this is an example in Psalm 40. This is an example of David's life. We could point to Miriam, we could point to Deborah, we could point to the Apostle Paul, we could point to, in fact, Peter, the rock that Jesus affirms. This is one that moves out of Psalm 40. But these virtues that we're talking about, like gratitude, these virtues like joy and happiness, these virtues like forgiveness and redemption, this is the way that they become written in our own hearts. And in fact, this has been my real plan as your pastor over the past few weeks, for us to become people with gratitude that is in our hearts. Not just something that is on the notes that we're capturing on our phone. Not just something that's happening in the journals that we're keeping. But in fact, people who have gratitude that is written in our own hearts. I've already mentioned him. I've mentioned him several times. Robert Evans, who wrote this book. It's called Thanks, How Practicing Gratitude Can Make You Happier. He's a psychologist. He's a researcher. And he offers, there's surveys that, in fact, he's at University of California at Davis. He's offered surveys that said that when you ask people randomly, that there have been times in our own country, before 2014, before Pew was doing that, but there have been moments and there have been times in our own country, and you probably heard these numbers when surveys reveal that there's up to 75% of people who say that they would like to spend more time in prayer. Now imagine that. Imagine that there are at least half of folks in our country, and even 20% that are not even religiously affiliated. They admit that to surveyors. They say that out of their own mouths, but 75% said, you know what? I would like to spend more time in prayer. And as many as 51% pray before a meal. But out of those surveys, beyond those surveys, on-the-ground research shows that even college students are people who pray, and they're people who pray often. And generally fall into two categories. If you've been in the church very long, you know these terms. There's prayers of thanksgiving, as our psalm for today is, and there's also prayers of petition. I mentioned those earlier, those two terms. But you discover that after exam papers, you discover that college students will often, and again, this is not survey, this is actually on-the-ground research, just going down the hall and asking them. It says, how many of you pray after you get a good grade on that exam? And they shake their heads and say, yep, I did pray. I prayed after I got a good grade on exam. And then you ask them before midterms. You ask them before finals. You ask them before the first exam, before the first paper. When you're not feeling so good about your preparation, do you pray before a paper? And college students say, yep, I do pray. Maybe the only prayer that I've offered, I might have skipped chapel. I might have skipped my meal, but I pray before an exam. And again, this idea of either asking God to do something in our lives or thanking God for something that God has done, there is research. If you say, you know, I thought that was happening. I thought that was happening among students. I thought that was happening among even those people that I thought were far disconnected from the church and disconnected from God. Yes, that's exactly right. It is happening. But the question that I have for us is that, should it just be college students who find gratitude in their prayers? Should it only be college students? Should it take a midterm? Should it take a final for us to offer a thanks to God? Should it be something that we, or even a moment like David experiences, of personal distress that moves us toward thankfulness to God? Notice the kind of transformation that happens at the end of the psalm. Verse 10 and 11 of Psalm 40. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips. As you know, O Lord, I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken. I have shared it with others. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. We've shared it together when we meet, just like we are this morning. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. You see, this is the kind of gratitude that gets embedded in our prayers. You see, the kind of change that we experience as we're doing that very simple thing of just offering thanks and offering gratefulness, that the very God of the universe changes our lives from it. I want you to hear those same verses that come from Eugene Peterson's translation called The Message. It's the Message translation that says it this way. This is again Psalm 40, and it's verse 10 and 11. I didn't keep the news of your ways a secret. Didn't keep it to myself. I told it all how dependable you are, how thorough you are. I didn't hold back pieces of love and truth for myself alone. I told it all. Let the congregation know the whole story. Now, God, don't hold out on me. Don't hold back your passion. You see, what gratitude does is it opens us up to all that God wants to offer to each of us. It enables us to be equipped in such a way to receive all that God has offered to us. And we've done that very thing this morning by singing. We've told it all. We've sung that old, old story. We've reminded ourselves that Christ is the King of our universe. And now let it be all of our prayers. God, don't hold back on us. Don't hold back your passion. You see, praying in gratitude opens us up to everything that God wants to offer us. Let's bow our heads. Almighty and everlasting God, we pray on this day that as we look on the verge and on the edge of receiving Jesus Christ into our world once again, we pray that you may open us all up. And pray, oh God, that you will let us with boldness say before you that in all the things that we have offered, Lord, don't hold back. Don't hold back your passion. May your gratitude, may all that you are offering, may we be open to receive everything that you want to give to us. For this we pray and ask in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen.